the best way to overcome these problems right away is do as you've said here, and that's give yourself plenty of hooks in the specification. A lot of times what the examiner wants to see is the practical application. I mean, that's the real thing that is the eureka moment. It's the thing that's interesting. So in making sure that you include all of those in those flowcharts and system diagrams that you have and all the different variations that could come out of that help tremendously when you get to the prosecution with and something like this arises if you're dealing with a 101 rejection at that point.
All right, so the next one's not necessarily a strategy or tactic. It could be, I guess, if you're trying to claim AI as an inventor, but this deals with the Dabbas case where the AI actually invented, the engineer invented the AI, and the AI found novel design of a cup, and the creators of Dabbas went and tried to file and the applications in all these jurisdictions and include the AI as the inventor. And in the U.S., who conceived the invention is basically the standard for determining who's the inventor. And statute says that the individuals are. So that got knocked down in the U.S. And in pretty much every jurisdiction, except for South Africa, just recently approved AI as an inventor, and Australia as well. That was last year. But this litigation is still going on in all these jurisdictions, and so it's not sure whether or not they'll allow that to be an AI to be an inventor in the future.
Right. I do wonder if this means that now in South Africa or Australia or any other countries that might consider an artificial intelligence system to be an inventor, do you have to list that if you are now using AI in those jurisdictions? Or else potentially not have a valid patent. It all depends on their, you know, the jurisdictions.
I'm interested to see how a non-natural person assigns a patent, or like, you know, I get funders that complain, you know, or like judges, certainly in Delaware, like to complain, like, who's behind this, Your Honor? It's no one. It's no one. Literally.
All right, so efficient patent prosecution, there's some different strategies that can be pursued to obtain patents quicker. Obviously, doing accelerated filings is a good option. Just costs a little extra money, but if you are working with an examiner and you need potentially a continuation, it's good to have a good relationship, and the examiner understands the technology. And there's also, so if you don't want to deal with the 101 issue right away, the USPTO developed a new deferred program called the Deferred Subject Matter Eligibility Response Pilot Program. And that, what that does is delay the 101 rejection until after you deal with art rejections. And they invited a certain amount of people who qualified for it. And there are certain pros and cons to it. If the 101 is particularly difficult and you don't want to deal with it, then this program would be good. It reduces the prosecution cost by limiting back and forth with the examiner. And then if you need additional time, if it's really difficult, there is, and you are waiting potentially for a new decision to come down from the Federal Circuit or the PTAB, you could delay the 101 until that you get that actual extra authority, I guess. But the cons are it can delay prosecution because the 101 isn't addressed in the first OA, so it takes at least two OAs. And then you may unduly narrow the claims, because if you respond to the art rejections and narrow it, and then you get the 101 and have to narrow again, maybe just narrowing once would have taken care of all of the rejections. So there's some pros and cons, but it's an interesting program. The results haven't been published yet. They should be published in, several months.
it's kind of nice of the patent office to allow for that, just as most courts in the country, you know, throw darts at your patent, you know, for a year and a half to 2 years before you get into a courthouse.
Yeah.
Very, you know, just, you know, aligning things. Mm-hmm.
And then this brings us to the latest bill that has been submitted, Patent Eligibility Restoration Act. And it's providing exclusive, basically various exclusions of things that are patentable or are not patentable. And there's some interesting language in here that non-technical, economic, financial, business, social, cultural, artistic process. So a question maybe what qualifies as a technological process that hasn't been fully defined yet, but will probably take some USPTO promulgations and court rulings to define that, I would think.